Come on, coach. No more bun warmer for the sage. I like this guy's grit.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time again for the sage of Tampa Bay sports. After covering the 73rd NFL draft of his career, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the beast of Big Storm Beer, and the prince of Bill Curry Ford, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee D. Kemper. We're JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, how the hell are you today?
Gentlemen, I come to this podcast with a message. This is directed to Park Avenue, and you better be listening, Roger Goodell. And my message is simple. Use that same format for the next 10 years. It was beautiful. It was smooth. There were no screw-ups. I love the things with the kids, with the families at home. And I love the view of Arians on his patio and nobody at the New England table. Belichick's dog is out there. I thought it was fantastic. And for all you clowns out there who said, how dare the NFL proceed with the NFL draft as scheduled, you people must feel like a bunch of morons today.
I sort of agree with Ira, but I like the glitz, and apparently the players really like it. They were looking forward to Vegas. The only thing I liked about, you know, the remotes, Cliff Kingsbury's house. But was that guy chill or what? He's in his beautiful mansion. He's just hanging out on the couch.
He's got Camelback Mountain as his backdrop, Lee. Camelback Mountain.
Is that what it is, Camelback Mountain? Okay, I didn't know it was Scottsdale or whatever. But you contrast that with that closet that Zach Taylor was working in on a $70 desk. I mean, it's like completely, like, you know, it was like two different worlds. And then, of course, my favorite image of the whole day or the whole weekend, not quite as second favorite, not the favorite, Cliff Kingsbury, that was my favorite image. But the second favorite image was Belichick's dog reading his illegal Apple laptop.
That was tremendous. Now, Steve, this is a subject for another day, but I'm going to mention it. We'll get back to it at a future podcast. But suppose a guy like Tony Dungy, Father Dungy, as Lee likes to call him, was watching the telecast. It had to be hammered home to Dungy, above all people, that, guys, let's face it, 85% of the athletes were minorities, and 95% of the coaches and the executives are not. It was a very sharp contrast.
What struck me was, when's the last time two guys from Minnesota got drafted?
Well, the Bucks are very happy with the one they got, right, Stevie?
All right, Sage, your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Our great buddy, Sean Sullivan, the general manager there, he will take care of people personally. And we mean every step of the way through the process, even just initially to answer your questions. He's there in person, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium at the gorgeous Bill Curry Ford showroom. Huge showroom, all set up for social distancing and to just sort of enjoy in peace. They will deliver cars to you, trucks to you to test drive. So you don't even have to go to the dealership, but you do want to go to BillCurryFord.com to see all the 0% offers. It's almost all the way out to autumn already, Ira, where you don't have to make a payment for 6 months on the 0% financing offers from Ford, and then the deferred payments and help from Bill Curry Ford. Tremendous deals right now, BillCurryFord.com. And Ira, got to remind you that Big Storm Brewery, did you get into the Key Lime Shandy beer yet?
I did. It's a notch below the tropical pressure for my taste, but it certainly was scarfed up in this household.
Did your wife weigh in on either one of those?
She liked the Shandy better. I like the tropic pressure better. That's the way it should be. And Steve, speaking of Bill Curry Ford, took the Cherry Red Escape out today to Publix. And one of the many features besides the bun warmer, gentlemen, which I've talked to many times. And by the way, I discontinued it when the temperature hit 88. No more bun warmer for the sage. But I got my bags from Publix, and when I was taking it out of the cart, all you got to do is stick your leg under the back of the thing, and it opens up automatically. Lee, that's the only exercise I'm getting. The tennis has been ground to a halt, and the only time I do anything is I kick my leg out and open that beautiful, wide back. Cherry Red Escape, that's where I can have two hands on the bag and still get the thing open, Lee. All kinds of accoutrements.
Ira, you got to get a little ball hopper, put 40 tennis balls out there, and go out and serve a couple hundred balls. What are you talking about? Get out there and tighten that game up.
You know what's amazing, Lee? I'm eating like a horse, no exercise, and I go to Publix on my way out. I hop on the scale. I'm down a pound and a half. This I can't explain it, gentlemen. Can't explain it.
Well, for those who've seen you eat, they know it's a workout. So, all right. Well, the bottom line, Ira, is Big Storm Beer, official beer of the podcast. Their beer is phenomenal. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to check them all out and to find out where you can buy beer near you. Ira's talking about the Tropic Pressure Florida Ale with the Beach Blonde on the can. They have fantastic food as well at their Odessa and Clearwater tap rooms, available for takeout and delivery. And my delivery's coming tomorrow, Ira, the hand sanitizer, their medical-grade hand sanitizer that they've started to make and ship all over the country. It's a phenomenal story, and I look forward to my bottle. Maybe I'll send you one.
Well, next year we're going to have a whale of a draft party in 2021. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're going to make
cross
up
our fingers.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to make up for 2020. That's for sure. Your podcast is available on a lot of the big podcast platforms, Ira. You know, you got back into the Google Play top 50, all genres, but you're
beautiful.
You're also out there on Apple Podcasts. People can subscribe, Podbean. You got 538 subscribers on Podbean, Ira, right now. Your buddy Rick Stroud has 183, so people can infer what they wish there.
And thank you, Stephen.
And believe it or not, Ira, our last six reviews on Apple Podcasts are five-star reviews. Now that I mention that, of course, it's going to change, but that's quite a streak for this podcast.
Is Stroud asking for handouts?
Never mind that, Lee. That's another podcast. It's another podcast.
All right. Now, look, we've got a lot to get to. Ira's on a schedule here today, so we're gonna move fast and furious. Sage, we already broke down the first round of the draft, so anybody can go back and listen to that on the platforms or at joebucksfan.com. But up comes round two, and the Bucks need a running back. A lot of people want a running back. It's a sexy pick. And here it comes. All these names on the board. The Buccaneers grab Antoine Winfield, safety out of Minnesota, a tremendous athlete, a guy who was hurt for 2 years, but he's the son of Antoine Winfield Sr., Pro Bowl defensive back. He's a great athlete. He's a ball hawk. He's little. They're saying he's a cross between Buda Baker and Tyrann Mathieu. What do you think?
You know, Lee, I'm looking at it two ways. They didn't get a better running back than Vaughn, which I think they could have. But, Lee, in a sense, I think we'd agree, and I don't know how Light looks at it and Arians, but I think running back was more of a priority. But, Lee, at the same time, they had a big grade on Winfield. They had a big grade on him. There's no way they thought he was going to be ready in round three if they sat there. He was going to be gone. I think they're correct in that assumption. So, Lee, in that respect, taking the highest rated player at a position of some need, we've talked about safety on this podcast, Lee, I can't knock it. It's unfortunate because I really don't think in the end that they addressed the running back situation to my satisfaction.
There's a bunch of ways you can look at this. Obviously, if you're just worrying about, if you're quote-unquote team though, you're not worried about needs, you're not worried about wins, you're not worried about making a run for a playoff, not worried about any of that, you're strictly worried about team building, it's a good pick. If you're worried about wins, if you're worried about your offense, you're worried about winning a Super Bowl, which this team has explicitly said, that's what they're worried about, they're making a run for it, this was a monumental strikeout. Monumental strikeout. Now, I'm not anti-Winfield. I was not anti-O.J. Howard. Once the Bucks get him, I hope they succeed. But if the Bucks go out there and they don't make the playoffs with no running attack, and I'm sorry, I'm not expecting Ronald Jones to, what do they call it? What's the opposite of turning into a pumpkin with Cinderella? All of a sudden he's going to be Barry Sanders. I hope guy runs for 2,000 yards. I don't see it happening. I live in a real reality. I don't see it happening. So if your offense, and remember, people, you got rid of the leading passer in the NFL. I know Brady's Brady. I get that. But if the offense is too one-dimensional because you still can't run the freaking ball and this team doesn't make their goals, there's going to be a lot of hollering from fans, and I don't blame them. And, oh, by the way, you still could have had Winfield. You still could have had a running back. And this is, I'm surprised Steve didn't bring this up first and foremost. The Jaguars dangled Leonard Fournette in front of Light's face. And he said, Nat, we're good. Not that I'm a big Leonard Fournette fan, but he's better than Ronald Jones.
Steve, I think there's a couple of ways you can defend the Winfield pick. I'm going to give you a couple. One, Steve, offseason, two big acquisitions, offense. Brady, Gronkowski. Yeah, they got guys, they retained guys on defense. Of course, they lost two D linemen. They retained guys, but they didn't add anyone. So if you wait till the third round, Winfield's gone, and now you're looking at, you know, a second or third tier safety. And Steve, I'll throw this out there. I hope this isn't wishful thinking, but Steve, you got to think the blocking, the run blocking, Steve, will be better with the addition of Wirfs and Gronkowski. That has to impact the blocking up front, which will help Ronald Jones. But I'm still looking for a guy to catch 75 balls, and I don't see him on the roster.
I can already hear the fans listening saying, wait a minute, we just drafted a running back, middle of the third round, Keyshawn Vaughn, out of Vanderbilt, was very productive there the last 2 years. Prior to that, he was with Lovie Smith, poor guy. And, you know, he's a productive runner. Maybe the Bucs reached a little bit, but they absolutely liked him, obviously. They had him high up there. And he's not the pass catcher. Doesn't mean he can't catch the ball, but he's right. Not the pass-catching guy they were necessarily looking for. But why should people think this guy won't be successful? I mean, why don't you like that pick per se, Ira or Enley?
Because I've been watching the films on Vaughn since they drafted him, and every time I see him run for big yardage, the holes are enormous.
Yeah.
Enormous. And I don't see him making people miss, Lee. I don't see it. Whereas a Cam Akers does, Dobbins. And so they either didn't have Dobbins and Akers ranked as can't-miss guys, or Winfield was, in the stratosphere. Either way, they had to think Dobbins and Akers would be gone by the third round, and they made that decision that we will go down on our list of running backs for the chance to get Winfield.
I think it comes down to this, Ira. It's real simple. I guess you could say I'm having an epiphany. Whether it's Arians, whether it's Light, whether it's both of them, they just don't value running backs. I mean, how many years have the Bucs needed a running back, and White has never picked, well, one? And it's almost like, oh, I don't want to pick one. Okay, I'll pick one. Oh, he stinks. Oh, I'm not picking again. It's like, okay, I got burned once. I'm not going to go back and try another one. That's what it smells like to me. But this team does not value two positions.
And one's
running back, the other's defensive end.
Lee, another way, Steve, to look at it is the Winfield pick was not a ringing endorsement for the young safeties, and they got three of them. One of them can't get on the field. Whitehead shows a little talent, and Edwards had a very, very shaky rookie season. So, Steve, if they were at all optimistic about getting Evans back on the field, I'm not sure they would have took Winfield.
That's a great observation, Ira. I mean, seriously, that's great. You're absolutely right. And I thought safety was the second biggest hole in the team. So it's not like I'm anti-Winfield. They took care of a hole, the biggest hole in the defense. And like you said, outside of Jordan Whitehead, the Bucs really don't have any safeties. Now, I'm going to hear, Justin Evans. Well, the guy can't stay healthy. And in the immortal words of Bill Parcells, best ability is your availability. And that guy can't get on the field. He's always hurt. You can't bank on it. So, what next? You going to bank on Beckwith?
Hey, Steve, the Rams didn't have any trouble pulling the trigger on Cam Akers. They wasted no time.
No, hey, that's the draft. It's what's fun to see who works out and who doesn't. And we know that all, this whole stable of running backs that were just drafted, some are going to suck and some are going to be pretty good. I'm keeping an open mind to Vaughn, like I know all of you are. I mean, we're here sitting here trying to just, give our opinions of what's in front of us. I mean, but he's not the pass catcher that they allegedly were looking for. Now, Ira, I don't know if you were in on the news conference with Bruce Arians or if you listened, but I, sort of put his feet to the fire a little bit. I said, hey, back at the combine, you said you were looking.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that.
I said, Bruce, you were looking for, stated you wanted a David Johnson type running back. Is he on the roster? And then Arians jumped to late in the seventh round and said Raymond Calais out of Louisiana Lafayette is a smaller, faster version of David Johnson, and he may
come,
be a...
Come on, coach. Come on, coach. Come on.
He said he may be the next Tariq Cohen, and he was all fired up about the guy. What are we doing here, Ira?
First of all, I'm not sure he's going to make the team. And two, if he makes the team, Lee, you know how he's going to make it? As a kick returner. As a kick returner and a punt returner. And you know what, Lee? You'll be okay with that because you've been crying for that for years.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
Forget this, forget this David Johnson nonsense.
All right. Hey, I'm excited about the guy. Just, I mean, he is super quick. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to catch easy passes from Tom Brady and maybe break a tackle. I know we don't see that in Buccaneers land too much, but I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
I'm running back. What is that?
How do you think Bowles will use Winfield? I think he's going to play a lot of slot corner and in that way possibly be utilized a bit as a blitzer. Lee, how do you see Winfield? I'd be shocked if he doesn't start.
I don't want people running off the road when I say this. I think they're going to use him similarly the way they would have used if this guy somehow would have fell to them at 14, Isaiah Simmons. He's a very, very diverse kind of safety. He can do a lot of things.
He doesn't have Simmons' size, Lee. He doesn't have the size.
That's very true. That's very true. And if I remember right, was it Light that said that? Or was it Arians that said that he could play nickel corner as well?
Yeah, what's interesting...
Bye-bye, MJ Stewart.
There we go with MJ Stewart again, Steve.
Well, Winfield, what's interesting about him is that I was digging deep, and, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, when he arrived in Arizona, and Arians loves him to death, when he got there in 2013, he primarily played nickel. Buda Baker, when he arrived in 2017 to Arizona, primarily played nickel. So if the pattern follows, Winfield will play nickel, and I'm hoping, at least as a rookie, I'm hoping that he does because that'll put a lot of pressure on Davis and Dean and Bunting, you know, three guys competing for two jobs. I think that would be a good thing. I feel bad for Winfield because he's not going to have all that time on the field to sort of figure out and learn all these new positions to be a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy when you're hopefully just, you know, maybe getting in a training camp and nothing else.
The more I think about it, I think nickel's the spot for him, Steve, at least as a rookie.
I knew who he was. I wasn't real familiar with him, but I knew who he was. And so I went and watched some video Friday night after he was selected, after the draft was over with. And there was this guy, I embedded the video on JoeBucksFan.com, and overnight Friday night this guy made the video private. This guy had some clips of Winfield's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, this guy, there was one play I swear on a stack of bio. It looked just like Ed Reed. The ground he covered to make an interception, he was like right around the right hash mark, and the quarterback threw to the left side, near the left sideline. He raced all the way over in the end zone and picked the guy off. It was like, oh, my gosh, the ground he covered. And there was against Fresno State, he made a play on an interception. He was burnt and burnt terribly on a halfback option. Like a goal line halfback option, he was burnt bad. And the recovery he made and the jump that he made to pick the ball off, I mean, the announcers were like, I think Matt Millen was one of the announcers. Did I just see what I just saw? You know, it's kind of a Jack Buck thing. Did I just see that?
I remember that on tape. He took like three steps in. He looked like he was totally out of position. Totally.
And he recovered so well and jumped, he skied. He got that pick. It was an amazing athletic play, amazing recovery.
You know, Steve, one of the surprises for me, I'll just speak for me, on Friday evening was that O.J. Howard, when the night ended, was still a Buccaneer. And as we speak, still a Buccaneer. I thought Light was going to do whatever he could to recoup that missing fourth-round pick. The Bucs don't like to be idle, Steve. They don't have to sit out the whole fourth round. I had to kill Light. And you know, I'm just not believing in this malarkey about a three tight end set. Why would you do that when you get the best wide receiver tandem, and now you just added a receiver in the fifth round? So I'm not buying that nonsense. Plenty of time for O.J. Howard to vamoose, because I'm backing up you guys are asserting that not that he's going to get traded, but that he's not happy and he would welcome a deal. And I think when you have that kind of situation, usually the guy doesn't survive.
Ira, let me throw out a threesome of very quick little nuggets, and let me get them all out, and then you can comment on any one you want, or you just laugh, whatever you want to do. Number one, Dare Ogunbowale was on CBS Sports Radio the other day.
You can stop right there. You can stop right there.
Click.
All right. I'll go to number two. We'll save that for another podcast. Number two, maybe, just maybe, with the tight end situation the way it is right now, maybe they let these guys come to camp and they let Tom Brady pick whether he wants Howard or Brate after he works with them and sees what they're like and feels their chemistry. Point number three, Mark Dominic was on Sirius talking about how he just didn't understand at all why Jason Light would have made the Gronk deal before the draft. Because his attitude was that fourth round pick this year would be important for the Bucs in the manipulation of what they wanted to do with the draft. That Belichick would have done the deal after the draft, and then you could have dumped a 2021 fourth round pick to Belichick, and it would probably be a lesser pick, and it wouldn't affect you this year when you're in an all-in mode. So your comments.
All right, I'll start with the last one. Lee, how does Dominic know that Belichick would take a future fourth round pick rather than this year's fourth round pick? How does Dominic know that? He doesn't know that. Maybe Belichick would have taken it under the theory of take what you can get, but you would think, you know, a 2020 fourth round pick is more valuable for Bill Belichick, because Lee, he thinks he's going to win the Super Bowl this year. And if you're Bill Belichick, why wouldn't you think that, Lee? Why wouldn't you?
Well, who's the quarterback?
I understand that, but it's Bill Belichick.
He gets the benefit of the doubt.
So I understand, Dominic's thinking, but he certainly doesn't have any great insight into the mind of Belichick, whether he would have taken a 2021 pick rather than this year's draft. The Dare opener, speechless. I'm speechless, Lee. I got nothing to say.
Scraping the barrel, weren't they?
Oh, man, I got nothing to say.
They must have been scraping the barrel for guests. Couldn't get anybody.
Steve, what was your number two again?
You think they'll let Brady pick the tight end?
I'll tell you what. I think if they do, I think Howard loses the battle. Lee, how do you like that? I think he loses it.
I mean, I have no idea. You know, I'm not even going to speculate, but, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me. The fact that he has, and maybe Brady heard this, and maybe this turned him off, but, Steve and I have written about this several times already. When he came out and he was asked on that podcast, that Channel 10 podcast, when are you going to get together with Brady? Next couple months or so. What? And if Brady heard that, I'm guessing he did. It's like, this guy didn't want to work. Why would I want to work with him?
I just, I've said it before, Steve. It's just a feeling. I think Arians is over Howard. Now, you got the Brady effect and what impact Brady's going to have. In my opinion, and I might have stunned you guys 3 weeks ago when Brady came aboard, one of the first things I said was I thought Brate was going to be one of the big beneficiaries. Let's see if I'm right.
We will see.
I do have to ask you about the Dominic line that you had. But I don't know if there's some technicality with Gronk's contract with the Patriots, which obviously the Bucs assumed, or the Bucs took over, not assumed. If there was some technicality that he had to be off the roster, off the Patriots roster, because it was technically reserve retired, I think was the terminology where they held his rights.
Right.
If there was a technicality that he, if he had unretired, he had to be off the roster, or else that $12 million would have kicked in, or $10 million, however much that was, and obviously the Patriots couldn't afford that, so they had to move him at X amount of time, or that clause would have kicked in. I don't know that, but I know there's technicalities built in all these contracts, so I don't know if that was a factor, and I really don't know. I'm just speaking out loud. I don't know. That may have been. That may have been why the trade was done when it was done. I don't know that. I'm just, wondering.
Yeah, we can certainly try to find that out. I don't think so from listening to the longer Dominic conversation, but I don't know. Well, we can definitely find out. All right, Ira, reminder, BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. That's the website of Tampa's first family of Ford, 60 years in Tampa. Sean Sullivan, general manager. We're going to have him on later this week because he is our resident draft guru. He had a lot of great insight and some good hits in this draft as far as his analysis, and he's going to take us through especially some of these undrafted guys that the Bucs are bringing in. and you know, get some of his takes on the podcast later this week.
Sean Sullivan's the man that declared Mr. Ruggs the best wide receiver prospect in the field, and guess who agreed with him? Mr. Gruden.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Yeah, we hit that in the last podcast. Now, the Bucs had no fourth-round pick, right? They gave him away as part of their deals, so that brings us to the fifth round, and Tyler Johnson, wide receiver out of Minnesota. Now, before we hit that, Ira, I want to run this by you because it's important news. Now, there's been a lot of rumblings that the Bucs are going to get fined, or maybe they'll take a draft pick from him because Tom Brady went into the wrong house when he was trying to go to Byron Leftwich's house next door. And, of course, you know, people are speaking up around the league. Reports have come that other GMs are pissed off because, you know, Brady's not supposed to be meeting with coaches, and he had these bags with him, which is probably footballs. And you've read the story. Most people know it. Now, Lee and I have been taking a lot of crap for, you know, oh, you guys are blowing it out of proportion and it's not a big deal and you're snitches and all this stuff. And meanwhile, of course, that's ridiculous. But I wanted to point this out to you, Ira. I was watching a lot of this NFL draft-a-thon that was going on online to raise money for coronavirus relief. Rich Eisen was hosting, Kay Adams. It went for like 4, 5, 6 hours each day. And Tom Brady was on there. Now, Tom Brady comes on. He's on this Zoom chat with like 7 other players and personalities. And over, and they were giving him so much crap about busting into the guy's house, you know, next door to Leftwich's house. So, I mean, it's out there. Latavius Murray, quote, "I think it's at Florida Heat getting to him already." Rich Eisen, he doesn't, Brady, hi, Tom, he doesn't even know where he is right now. I mean, Brett Favre was on there saying he thought it was a joke and he was making fun of him. Russell Wilson needling him. And to Brady's credit, he's on there saying, well, maybe I don't know where I am, but they got Wi-Fi and I'm cool. So how's it going, guys? So it's out there and everybody knows it. Brady's not denying it. Do you think he's going to end up getting fined here? And might they pull a draft pick from the Bucs?
Lee, I think the league would like to see this thing go away. And my guess is it will. Unless another team wants to push it and really, you know, keep it on the front burner. I don't think that's going to be the case. Worst case scenario, you know, they take a 7th-round pick away from the Bucs next year. I don't think it's going to happen. Brady always looking for an edge, Lee. And, Lee, we've been around the block a few times. I think I'm speaking for you right now saying Brady's case, it does not stand apart in the league. This goes on. It's just undetected. And he bungled. If he didn't go in the wrong house, nobody would have known anyway. So it's happening all over the league.
Well, first, my biggest question is, the guy that sold it to Harvey Levine and TMZ, what kind of check did Harvey Levine cut? That's my biggest question. How much does the guy get paid? What, $5,000, you think, Steve? Oh, over that? But, you know, but it's so out there. Doesn't Goodell have to do something? Isn't he painted into a corner?
Well, let's see if this thing's got legs. I don't think it does. I think by the time this week rolls around, we're talking about other stuff. I think it'll dissipate. Steve, that's my guess.
All right, Sage, wanted to get your take mainly again because it's sitting there out there on NFL.com. All the big names are talking about it. It was hilarious when Brett Favre brought it up totally out of the blue. He's like, hey, before we go any further, guys, did I hear this right? It was just funny.
Maybe Brooks will hear the case on appeal, gentlemen. It'll be interesting.
All right, now round five, Ira. Round five comes. The Bucs take Tyler Johnson, wide receiver. And Bruce Arians says a very interesting thing. He says, hey, I was at the Outback Bowl with my son watching this guy, yep. And as soon as I saw him and watched him, I said, I got to draft that guy. Now, I laughed, Ira, because who's running this draft?
Lee, can't you see Arians spilling his beer when Johnson caught a touchdown pass? Can't you just see it?
Well, here's my reaction to that quote. If Minnesota wins or loses one more game, they're not in the Outback Bowl, do the Bucs even draft this guy? Because he sounds like he was drafted because Arians watched him.
Now, Steve, you know the answer to your own question. Who's running the ship? But let me say this about Tyler Johnson, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, but the more I read about him and the more I see tape of him, darn it, he looks like another Godwin. The reason he lasts, everybody asks, well, what the heck's this guy doing in the fifth round? He's so productive. Well, he doesn't run a 4.4. His speed is ordinary. It's fifth round speed. But Lee, he excels at contested catches, catches in traffic, and he knows how to get open, and he's got strong hands. I mean, they potentially could have another Godwin on their hands.
Yeah, I think you're right. The little bit I've watched of him, he always gets open. He finds a way to get open somehow, some way, which is a heck of an attribute. And he's not shy about getting physical, not at all. So you may be right. Maybe Chris Godwin the second.
You know, now, Steve, that doesn't answer the, looking for a blazer. People thought, you know, this number three guy has to be a blazer. Steve, all I care about is production. I don't care if the guy's a Tyreek Hill clone or not. Just catch the ball, and Brady will throw it to you.
If he is the Chris Godwin type, and it seems like he's that type, but he doesn't have the same speed, and that is a big part of Chris Godwin's game in a lot of ways, yeah, we'll see. I mean, he is a fifth-round pick in a very deep draft, so we were sort of hoping, hey, maybe they'll grab one of these fifth-round guys who's really a third-round talent. You know, he was coached well. P.J. Fleck was not only the Bucs receivers coach, but he was an NFL wide receiver himself. And but he's also had other guys who got to the NFL and weren't really what they were cracked up to be. Who, I forgot the guy's name. It was a top five pick with the Titans. Corey Davis, maybe it was. I'm losing the name right now. But he's just been eh. You know, he was a superstar prospect that came from P.J. Fleck. But we'll see. But it's exciting anyway. I mean, he certainly is going to cause more competition for Scotty Miller, Justin Watson, who played a little bit better at the end of last year when he sort of got out of the doghouse.
You know what it reminds me, too, Lee, as I don't know if you were on the Arians call, Lee, after the opening round, but I asked Coach Arians whether it at least crossed his mind at all in the first round to take a wide receiver. And I mentioned Judy, the Alabama guy, and Arian's answer, Lee, was, well, it's such a deep draft for wide receivers, you can get one in the later rounds that could be a number two or a number three deep into the draft, and maybe they just proved it, guys, maybe.
Yeah, you might be able to make an argument that Tyler Johnson in some years could have been a second-round pick.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the line he used at the Combine, Arians, was beauty contest. That there were so many, that you could get any kind of receiver you wanted. And, hey, he got the guy he wanted. So, good for
I like his grit, Steve. I like this guy's grit. He's gritty.
Yeah, I mean, look, when this guy's competing to be your fourth or fifth receiver, or third receiver, I mean, you've got a deep receiving core, so it seems, and that's exciting as hell. Now, Sage.
Hold on, gentlemen. Hold on. We cannot proceed without me throwing this out. And did I read somebody on Twitter who I never heard of suggest that Mike Evans is on the way out? Did somebody say that today?
Nonsense, Ira. Come on. Don't even waste our time with this nonsense.
But did I read it?
I don't know what you read.
I don't know. I can't read your mind, dude.
I thought I saw something on Twitter.
I never saw anything about that, but I haven't been on Twitter much this afternoon.
Okay.
In the words of a great sage, never mind that. All right. Now, Ira, sixth round, Bucks get Khalil Davis, defensive tackle out of Nebraska. Guy had 8 sacks last year. Very, very athletic guy. But again, sixth round pick. He's kind of raw. Interesting prospect. First seventh round pick goes to Arian's school of choice, Temple. Chappell Russell, he was a comeback player of the year for Temple. He's had some injuries. He's looks like a special teams linebacker. We could talk more about those guys later. And we got to get to Jameis Winston. Big story across the NFL on Sunday. And before that, Ira, I want to throw out real quick just two things on the draft. Chucky ended up drafting 3 receivers in the first 80 picks or so. 3 receivers, which is wild. And I was really hoping, as the draft was going toward that third round, Lee, I was wondering if you know much about this guy. But I was really hoping the Bucs were going to end up with, they were going to take Lynn Bowden out of Kentucky, the guy who's the receiver and the quarterback and just sort of jack of all trades returner. I thought he was a more potentially valuable piece and potentially that pass catching guy out of the backfield than Vaughn. I don't know. What did you think, Lee?
That's an interesting thought. It never crossed my mind, but that's very interesting. He could have been sort of the Winfield of the offense. You can plug him in halfback, plug him in at slot, plug him in at running back, you know, plug him in at kick return. That's an interesting thought. I had never crossed my mind. That's an interesting observation.
I got some advice for Mr. Gruden. Let Mayock do his job. Let Mayock do his job. Uh-huh. And it's a difficult spot for Mayock. I mean, he was hired with Gruden's blessing, and if Gruden turns on him, he's out. Davis is not going to back up. Not going to back Mike Mayock against Mr. Gruden, because Gruden's already won one of those battles right here in Tampa, and he's the guy that's making the big bucks. So, you know, most people think the Raiders flubbed the draft, and it wouldn't surprise me if they did.
Hang on, Steve, I got two questions for Ira before you hit him with Jameis. Ira, this came out Saturday. Nobody knew about it outside of a select few. When it started going down Thursday night, unbeknownst to most of the general public, the 49ers were in the market for a left tackle. There they are at 13. Tristan Wirfs is there. Nobody knew outside of a select few that Joe Haley has retired. All of a sudden, instead of Lynch picking his left tackle of the future, trades with the Bucks. And then they go out and they trade for Trent Williams. I just found that, and people don't try to insinuate anything here, but I just found that very, very interesting. Your take on that?
That's a nice little nugget.
Joe Staley, Lee. By the way. Joe Staley, not Joe Haley.
Staley.
Joe Staley.
And I'll take it a step further, Lee. Lynch is on his way to being a masterful general manager. Masterful. I mean, he's running circles around a lot of veteran general managers in this league. He learned from watching and playing with the Bucks. The foundation is in the trenches. He learned that. He's not over there drafting safeties and cornerbacks. He's trading DeForest Buckner and then replacing him with Kinlaw. He's picking up Williams on the cheap. Steve, this guy's a hell of a general manager.
The fact that he passed on Wirfs, doesn't that make you...
It does. You know, he wanted Kinlaw at that point. He wanted Kinlaw.
Yeah, that could be.
Went into that draft, I think, thinking Kinlaw, and he knew the Bucks were going to take Wirfs when he made the deal, so he wasn't worried about that. And he only moved back one spot and pocketed a fourth. I mean, I understand your point, Lee. Well taken.
Okay, here's another one, and it's not Lynch anymore. But apparently, Jason White and Dave Caldwell, the Jags general manager, they got to be best buds over the weekend. They had several calls, if you believe reports. One of the reports came from Caldwell's own mouth. But apparently, per ESPN, Jeremy Fowler said that the Jaguars, Dave Caldwell, called White. Said, hey, you want Fournette? And apparently, either the price was too rich or Light didn't want anything to do with him. And I'm not a big Fournette fan. I'm surprised Steve hasn't made a big stink about this. Steve's on the Fournette bandwagon, or was. What do you make of that? I mean,
well,
say what you will about him, he's proven.
Lee, guess what? That wasn't the only conversation between Light and Caldwell. And Steve will back me up on this. According to Mike Silver, who was embedded, and I use that word deliberately, embedded with the Jaguars. I don't know why he picked the Jaguars. Maybe that was his assignment. But Caldwell was giving him like a second-by-second breakdown of the draft. I mean, he was telling him everything. With quote marks, not an unnamed source. And, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but according to Silver, with quotes from Caldwell, that when Jacksonville was on the clock and right before they were going to call the cornerback for Henderson, Light calls Caldwell and offers him a third and a fourth for that number nine slot.
Whoa.
And Caldwell turned him down. Steve, do I have that correct?
Yeah, and the weird part of the story is, so, I mean, Caldwell said it himself. This isn't speculation. Jason Light wanted a sixth-round pick in return. And
right.
The Jaguars thought about it, and they wouldn't give up the sixth-round pick, and the deal fell apart. So my question is for Jason Light, which we'll never get an answer, is, well, which guy was worth, you wanted to trade up for somebody, but only if you got back a sixth-round pick? Like, what? And you didn't do the deal? Very strange. But the point I said this to Lee offline was these general managers, Jeremy Fowler's report made it seem like they called light on day two of the draft about Fournette. And these general managers, they all talk to each other in advance. They know who's interested in what. And they don't just call somebody blind and say, hey, you want him? They do all that in the previous 3 weeks. So the fact that he called Light to see if he wanted Fournette tells me that Light already said, we have interest in Fournette. Call me if the price is coming down. So maybe Ira.
Lee, I'm with Light on this one and saying no thank you, because, Lee, I don't like Fournette in the locker room. I don't like it.
And, yeah, I think that's why they're trying to get rid of him.
He was super productive last year. He was healthy and very, very, and 76 catches. That's a lot of catches. And Fournette didn't necessarily have that kind of a reputation as a pass catcher out of the backfield coming out of college. But that is one heck of a season for Fournette. He's had health issues. But, Steve, I think the character questions sank Fournette in Tampa.
I hear you. Well, my only point was that maybe he gets cut. And if that's the case, and we know the Bucks probably have a little interest, maybe that changes the game. All right, Ira, we're going to wrap up with you with this. And when you, because I know you have to go somewhere, Lee and I are going to hang on for a little bit extra to sing your praises and whatnot. Sage, Jameis Winston, member of the New Orleans Saints, looks like we don't have the agreement yet. Looks like he's going to be in that Teddy Bridgewater role, making less money than Taysom Hill. And that's where Jameis is going to land for 1 year. Your thoughts?
I can't quite figure out what's going on with the Saints, Lee. I mean, they're throwing a lot of money at this guy Hill. I mean, a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't get
it. And the guy's on the field, you know, 20% of the time, and there's still a question of whether he's the heir apparent to Breeze or he isn't. And now you pick up Winston. Now, Lee, they're not committed to Winston past the season. From a Winston perspective, I think it's an excellent move. I think it's he's been humbled. He's not making the big money, but he's with a heck of a team. And by the way, guys, may I remind these fans that are going crazy and have the Bucks in the Super Bowl, the Saints finished 6 games ahead of this team last season. 6. And that's what Winston throwing for 5,000 yards. The Bucks had 41 giveaways. The Saints had 8. I'm not making that up. 8. That's an incredible number. So, and their special teams are always great. So don't sleep on the Saints here, guys. And I'll add this. And Lee, I'm a broken record on this. I know it. If something happens to Breeze, they can turn to Jameis Winston. If something happens to Tom Brady, you got Blaine Gabbert. Advantage, Saints. Again. Where am I wrong, Steve?
Well, Sage, we're going to bid you farewell, and I also thought it was very interesting. You're not wrong. And also, if you look at the Colts, they're the team that ended up with Jacob Eason late in the draft, the developmental prospect. We didn't get one.
No question about it. In the words of Booger McFarland, who follows the Bucks very closely, Lee, he's almost positive the Bucks have to draft a quarterback next year. Makes sense. Even if they go 11-5 this year, makes sense because of that small window with Brady. I mean, what's he going to do? Be playing at 49th? Let's be reasonable. So Booger didn't think it was imperative that the Bucks draft a quarterback this weekend, but next year, the stakes get raised, gentlemen. I'm saying my farewell, carry on, and I'll catch up with you guys later in the week.
All right, get out of here, right. Ira. I know you've got a colonoscopy tomorrow. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Ira with his essential services tomorrow. All right, Lee, I want to run a couple things past you, and of course we can talk a little bit more about Jameis, but your thoughts on Jameis ending up in New Orleans.
That's a good move. He's basically the Teddy Bridgewater of 2020, provided there's a season. And if he does anything, he's the heir apparent to Breeze, I would guess. He's with an excellent coach, and I think he's with a coach, you know, Peyton's sort of a Bill Parcells kind of guy. He loves you, but he'll chew your rear end out, sort of like a sophisticated Bobby Knight. And we all know that Parcells learned a lot of his tricks from Knight. They were both roommates at one time, and when Knight was the head coach. Actually, Parcells worked for him at one point.
Yeah, so Lee, it'll be just odd seeing him playing with a slappies and in that fourth preseason game. I'm not sure how much time he's going to get in practice and reps, especially in a limited season. He feels like a hired gun as a guy who they know can win games, who knows the division, who has made 80 starts or so in this league, somebody that they know can hit the ground running as a backup quarterback that can win them games if necessary. It's a great spot for Jameis to learn from the situation, but how much hands-on time is he really going to get, you know, as the third quarterback or in that mix? It'll be interesting.
That's very true. I mean, it's not all that different from a couple of years ago when he was serving his suspension during preseason. He was the second-string quarterback to the Fitz.
Yeah, exactly. He was thrown to
Slappies.
Bobo Wilson. He was thrown a lot to Bobo.
Oh, Bobo Wilson. Yeah.
After practice. Come on, Bobo. Let's go. Let's go. I don't know. I mean, the fans are – it's the perfect Buccaneers soap opera. You know, Jameis, you know, somehow, some way, maybe Breeze turns an ankle and there's Jameis coming to Tampa on Sunday Night Football to face Brady. It would be fun in some ways to see him play well and the Bucs win. It would be fun in some ways to see him throw 7 interceptions.
Yeah.
And just have a Josh Freeman-like meltdown. You know, who knows? I want to run this by you. In the draft, you know, with the running back situation, I look at the Ravens, number one rushing attack in football. Last year, Mark Ingram ran for 5 yards a carry, 1,000 yards, and obviously they've got the quarterback. There they are with the best running game in football, and they draft J.K. Dobbins. I was just blown away.
I wasn't really blown away. What sprung to mind was John Harbaugh knows what he's doing. And I can't remember the GM's name, but he was right-hand man for Ozzie Newsome for a while. There's a reason why those guys win games. And I think their division, remember when the Bucs used to play in the black and blue division? That's
sure.
What they called the old Packers. That's sort of what the AFC North is now. Yeah, it's AFC North. That's sort of the same thing. It's Pittsburgh's a very physical, you know, run between the tackles kind of team. Cleveland, they're sort of like that too, even though they've got Baker Mayfield and they got the wide receivers. And even when they had Manziel there, even though Manziel didn't play, they hung with those teams the same way. Strong, tough defense, physical. I think Cincinnati was that way with Marvin Lewis. Tough, physical team. And those type of teams, they like to run the ball. And so that really didn't surprise me. But, you know, again, when they picked Dobbins, obviously Dobbins was there, the Bucs could have had him. And Cam Akers the same way. When John Harbaugh got Dobbins, I just said to myself, John Harbaugh knows what he's doing. That won't be a mistake. John Harbaugh knows how to win games.
You look at that move, and I'm thinking of Harbaugh's record, which I think it's something like 12 seasons in a row without a losing season.
Wow.
And there's that move that they make. That was just wild. I don't know if you saw this. Howie Roseman, you know, Chiefs GM, the interview is on NFL.com, but you know they drafted Jalen Hurts in round 2, which sent sent the city of Philadelphia into an uproar. What's going on, Carson Wentz? And Roseman was very bold, and he said, look, I learned a valuable lesson in the 2012 draft. There's a quarterback who won a Super Bowl, and who was drafted, and we lost out on him, because I got cute in the draft, and he wouldn't name Wilson because he said he didn't want to get tampering charges, but he said, look, I learned my lesson, and that's why we drafted him. And Mike Garofalo, to his credit, said, so you're talking about Russell Wilson here, right? And just to be clear, he said, you know, and then Roseman got all defensive, but it was obvious. I thought it was just a really bold move, and, you know, it just speaks to general managers who are willing to stick to what wins, and, you know, if you have too many quarterbacks, so be it.
That's a great point, and let's be honest, Carson Wentz is injury prone, and have they kicked in his fifth-year option? Is he due for a fifth-year option? He's right around there, isn't he?
I think he already got an extension.
But he's injury prone, and who knows? Maybe he goes out and breaks a leg, and Eagles are like, you know, we're better off with Hurts. Hurts is very interesting. I mean, just good enough runner not to be a running quarterback. He was just bad enough passer not to be a good passing quarterback. He was like in between, but the tweener. He did well at both, but not good enough to be, you know, either a Lamar Jackson or pick your quarterback. Pick a quarterback. I don't care who it is. And everybody talks about his leadership, and I kind of, you know me, I don't care about that stuff, but that's supposed to be a big attribute. Is very interesting. It's just a very, very interesting. And you know what? If they don't use him, he could probably be trade bait. They might be able to get a second or third round for him, especially if he does well in preseason games Now that will be the that'll be a teaser. So it's really, really interesting. I give him credit for that. Now I just hope he wins because the city of Philadelphia, eat him for lunch.
It's just a very interesting pick, and I just thought the reasoning, having some honest reasoning coming out like that, was fascinating. And we didn't talk about him with Ira, but the sixth round pick, Khalil Davis, out of Nebraska for the Bucks. Anything stand out?
He went to Light's former school. That's the only thing. It sticks out in the sense that I get the sense they look at him as the next Bo Allen. He's a big dude. He can get some pressure on the quarterback. He plays in a 3-4, so that'll be an easier transition for him because the Bucks are a 3-4 now.
Yeah, I mean, look, he'll rotate in. He's shown he could rush the passer in college, and he's not going to be the run stuffer necessarily, but he's an active guy, quite an athlete for that spot in the draft. When the Bucks say they played the draft perfectly, I think Light said their draft board was set up perfectly. You buy that, or you think that's just the talking point?
It's the NFL version of college football recruiting. There's only been one college coach I ever heard about after all their recruits signed that ever said, these guys are a bunch of stiffs, and I'll be lucky to have a job in 3 years if I don't get my rear end in gear and recruit better. Steve Spurrier said that. I've never had an NFL coach said, man, we blew the draft. Or, these guys didn't fall where we wanted them. And I sort of understand why they said it. Self-preservation is part of it. The other is they don't want to unload on a player they just got. Turn the guy off before he even signed a contract.
Sure. Yeah, before he even practices. And I thought it was interesting when Light was asked about Keyshawn Vaughn and how he's going to be used. And Light very quickly said, let's see what he looks like when he gets here.
There's some confidence.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement, but it was. There's so much smoke, so much mirrors. Everybody wins the draft. Everybody loves their draft picks. And then we get to see what really happens. All right, well, the Sage, as folks know, I guess now that he's gone, we can say that Sage still hasn't figured out his DVR properly, so he had to go watch Homeland, and so we let him go sharp. But
meanwhile, I'm recording it. Worst comes to worst, I'll watch the West Coast feed. Man, that show's really, really struggling across the finish line. Normally, I'd give up on a show that's gotten that bad, but I'm like, I paid for Showtime this month. I might as well watch it.
I've never seen it, so I can't comment, but I can let everybody know that we thank Big Storm Beer, our favorite beer, and Bill Curry Ford, and appreciate everybody who visits JoeBucksFan.com. Our traffic is up. From last year's draft, about 15%. As Lee likes to say, we're not asking for handouts. And, just all kinds of good things going on with the website. And we appreciate everybody who enjoys the podcast as well.
Thankfully, we have advertisers. We understand that, things aren't going well all across the country, not just with the virus, but with the economy and how it's taking an ugly tumble. And so I try to make sure I go to our advertisers once a week. Hooters, obviously Big Storm, and I encourage people to visit our advertisers once a week, get some food, help those guys out, and always remember, at Big Storm, not only can you get fantastic beer, not only can you get great food, but you can also buy hand sanitizer to clean your hands after you eat that Reuben.
And after you vomit on yourself, if the Bucks go 0-2, you can sterilize everything. No, I'm just kidding. We're hopeful. We're as hopeful as anybody else. Nobody's rooting for the Bucks to get off to a great start more than we are. I can say that 5-0 or 4-1 or something would
be great.
Realize 7 years in a row, this team has started 3-5 or worse in the first half of the season. they got to break that streak.
What's fascinating is Dirk Koetter always got out to an immediate quick start and then they folded.
Yeah, Dirk Koetter, his biggest challenge seemed to be like week 2 or 3. That was always the turning point toward the South Pole, and then they would bring it back at some point. Crazy times. All right, we're out of here. Thanks, Lee.
All right.